We have been in a series, a very unique series, application-based, practical-based. We'll be back to more of some challenge-based type sermons next week. But today we're finishing up a series on just some Bible study tips, techniques, tools. At the very beginning of the series, I give you guys a little half sheet. We have those half sheets out at the Information Center, so you can grab one, go back and listen to the first sermon and kind of fill it out. Or you can go online and get the already filled out version on our website on the same page as the sermons that we have, this sermon series. So we've been using these tips and techniques that I outlined for you in the very first sermon each Sunday as we've kind of been breaking them down. So if you've been with us, you've known the journey. If you're here with us the first time in the midst of this series, it's really kind of built on itself. And so today we're going to be kind of looking again at some more tips and techniques. We've looked at a variety of different things. We've looked at looking at how much the background matters when we've looked at the aim. How many of you guys remember the aim? What is aim? Good job. Author's intended meeting, and that's, we dig it. We dig it up, okay? So if you're going to go, if I'm going to use the illustration of like getting a potato, you know, say, to eat, or some sort of carrot or something like that, you dig it up, okay? So that's the beginning. We get the author's intended meeting. You dig it up. You figure out what it meant originally, and then you eat it. You ingest it. That's contemporary significance. You figure out, okay, how does this work? And you digest it, and you work with it, and you meditate on it. And then you use it. You put it to use. When you eat food, it's meant to be used. It's not meant to be a couch potato, but it's meant to be a potato to give you energy to do things, to work and to serve. And so we've got a big section on using it on the backside of that piece of paper. So we've talked a lot about the aim. We've talked a lot about background. We've looked at how to use cross references. We've looked at basically how to just use a regular dictionary to improve your Bible study, to bring that to another level, to slow down and really look at all of those things. So today we're going to be looking at just a small combination of things, but we're going to be having a large part towards the end where we're really going to focus on the using it section today to kind of give us a little boost into moving toward that direction in our Bible study. So today's verse was submitted by Dawn Souders, our children's director here, and it's a wonderful verse. It's in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, and it reads this. It reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not, or sorry, that was the old version. And do not lean on your own understanding." See, I'm old enough that I can relate to you guys who memorized verses in certain versions, and then you read a different version. And you have to struggle to read it. So I'm feeling like I can relate a little bit. Therefore, for a long time, I was like, "Why is that such a struggle? You just read it." But no, when you get it set in your mind, this is how it reads. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So when we start looking at the background, again, for the author's intended meaning, when we go to the Life Application Bible, which a little picture there of it, how many of you guys have bought a study Bible in the midst of this series? Couple. Awesome. Awesome. How many of you guys already had a study Bible? Okay, so we got a lot of people here that had one, and now we've got more that have bought one. Man, that's very, very encouraging. So use it. In the background of Proverbs, if you go to the introduction, which all the study Bibles have a little introduction part at the very beginning of a book. And if we were to go there in the Life Application Bible, we see a couple things there. I just pulled a couple excerpts from that. One of the things it says is that a proverb is a short, concise sentence that conveys moral truth. The book of Proverbs is a collection of these wise statements. The main theme of Proverbs, as we might expect, is the nature of true wisdom. And then a little further down in the introduction, it says, the word proverb comes from a Hebrew word, which means to rule or to govern. These sayings, reminders, and admonitions provide profound advice for governing our lives. So we read that, and if you read that introduction before you got into the Proverbs, or if you're studying a proverb and you go back and you read that introduction, it kind of brings that back to the surface. So let's go and write a quick summary of that down. A proverb is a short, concise statement of moral wisdom to help us govern our lives. So, and as you're doing your personal study time, that might be something where you read the introduction of a book, and maybe you take a couple notes on the side, okay? Here's what this is. That way, as you're reading a book, especially a book like Proverbs, which is can be very random because of the way that it's written. It's nice to have something to go back to and say, okay, this is the main purpose of the book. This is the main subject of the book. So because the Proverbs are written this way, immediate context when we're looking for aim, when we're looking for the author's intended meaning, it's not going to help us very much because it's a bit of an ADD. You know, it's a short, concise statement on wisdom here, and it's a short, concise wisdom over here. And yes, it does cover different subjects, and there are some, you know, places where it really moves and transitions, but there are other places where it just gives you advice on work, and it gives you advice on wine, and it gives you advice on wealth. And, well, you know, I guess all those could go together, but I can't remember how long ago, a couple of years ago, we went through the six or seven W's in Proverbs. You can check those sermons out if you're interested in looking back at the Proverbs. So we've got the immediate context isn't going to help us so much because it does jump around a bunch. However, remote context can be very helpful. And we'll be looking at that in just a second. Also in the Life Application Study Bible, in that beginning section, the introduction to Proverbs, you would find the purpose and about the time it was written, different things, but you'd also find the author. And many of you guys know that the author of most of the Proverbs was Solomon. So let's write that down because that's important to kind of keep in mind. Solomon wrote most of the Proverbs in the book of Proverbs. So Solomon, he wrote and then he collected them all. He's credited as that. And then when we see in the Life Application Study Bible on this verse, when we're in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, we see some cross-references. And we really used cross-references a bunch. 2 weeks ago, we kind of used them a little bit last week. And then so this week, sorry, which week was it? Maybe it was last week he's a bunch, but I know 1 week we used a bunch of cross-references to really look at it. This is just one today, so you guys know how to use cross-references. And so we look at this cross-reference, and this is a pretty interesting cross-reference that shows up. One of the cross-references points us to to 1 Chronicles. And in 1 Chronicles 28:9, we read this, and it's David talking to Solomon, father and son. He says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion. And with a willing mind, for the Lord searches every heart and understands every desire and every thought. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." So if you were to look at an immediate context on this verse in 1 Chronicles 28, you'd find out that as you look around that, in verse 29, at the very end of that, you see the death of David. Which means in chapter 28, these are some of the last words that David shares with his son Solomon. So I think it's a pretty potent cross-reference that is found here in the study Bible on Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And so we see that these are, let's write that down. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is linked to some of the last advice that Solomon's father gave him. So that really makes this passage very personal. It kind of brings a level of warmth to it. It's not just spurting out wisdom. This is wisdom that Solomon got that came from his father just, you know, in our Bibles, just a chapter before he passed. We don't know exactly what the time frame was there, but it was definitely toward the end of his life and towards the, you know, these would be things that Solomon would remember. We know that. We've had loved ones remember some of those last moments we had with them before they passed, or some of the last words they shared with us. And so Solomon, in starting his book of Proverbs, this reflection of some of the things that his father said to him are right here in the very beginning, and that's the verse that we read today. Solomon thinks enough of this advice that he would include it in his book of wisdom. Here's some wisdom I got from my father, and I'm going to pass it along because it's good stuff. David knew something about trusting in the Lord with all his heart, didn't he? When we think about David's life, those of us who had interaction or studied or Sunday schools or VBSs or whatnot, you know, of even those who don't know a whole lot about David, you've got the whole story of David and Goliath. He kind of knew a little something about living by faith and trusting God with all of his heart. And that's just one of many stories in David's life. David knew a little something about depending on God's understanding. He constantly leaned on God for his wisdom and his understanding, and instead of leaning on himself. When he leaned on himself, he went down a bad road. When he leaned on God, things were very successful. And David was a great example of seeing how those two paths worked in someone's life. David knew a little something about glorifying God, didn't he? Book of Psalms. He knew a little something about acknowledging God with his life and worshiping God and how God would honor a life of trust. David knew how God would honor a life of trust. David knew how God honored a life of faith, of humility, a life that sought divine guidance from God. David knew how that was, how God blessed that in his life. So we see this is not only very personal, but we see that this advice in Proverbs 3, 5, 3, or 5, 5 and 6, 3, chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, comes from a deep wisdom and a deep understanding that came from his father David through life experiences, sharing with him, sharing this advice at the end of his life. And we see this at the beginning of Solomon's Proverbs. There's a neat connection there. And as you look, I think it's kind of fun. Another thing too is when you see a cross-reference like this that connects, it's neat to go and kind of lay them side by side and kind of look at them. And this falls out real well. And I've got it up on the screen. We're going to kind of look at this here. So we've got David says in Chronicles 28:9, he says, serve God with wholehearted devotion. Solomon says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So serve God with wholehearted devotion. Solomon says, trust him with all your heart. David says, serve God with a willing mind. And then Solomon says, do not lean on your own understanding. David says, acknowledge the God of your father. And Solomon says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Isn't that interesting how these things, you can just see how this is, this really was something that Solomon was kind of bringing from this advice that his dad gave him. I think it's things like this. And once again, this whole series is just to inspire you, to give you some extra thoughts, some extra ways of looking at the Bible and studying the Bible, to take wherever your Bible study is up to the next level and to be able to progress. So this is just one of the things that you can do as verses grab you, kind of lay them side by side, look at them together. There are many passages in the Bible that you can do this with and kind of look at what they say when there's similar subjects or similar passages in remote context. Bring them together and lay them out side by side. Print them out or copy and paste them into a Word document or something and just kind of look at them. Maybe highlight different things that kind of pair up or underline different things or draw arrows, whatever works for you. But this, in my experience, has been a very neat thing to do, to be able to see how Scripture in one place says the same thing than Scripture in another place, and they just word it a little differently. So it's neat. And this is a very intimate connection between father and son. So David says, if you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Very strong words. Solomon says, and he will make your paths straight. So we'll be talking a little bit about this very, very later, but just how David's advice there, and then Solomon's translation of David's advice, if you follow God, he'll make your path straight. Very true. David's was a little more detailed, and you go this way, it's good. You go this way, it's not good. So another tool that comes in the Life Application Study Bible are these little life application, like, margin notes. If you had I left my wife's. But my wife has the printed Life Application Bible. And if you were to open it up, you'd have margin notes in the side, and that's where the Life Application Bible gets its name. It is, these little notes in the side are all about application, and they're connected to verses. So if we were to go to Proverbs 3:5, in the margin, there's a little note there. And in the digital version I've got, it doesn't give me the full note. It just gives me the title of the note. I click that, and it opens up the actual note. Here's what the note says on the Life Application, the margin thought. It says, Proverbs 3:5-6 is a strategy for effective living. It begins with God's wisdom, respecting and appreciating who God is, reverence and awe toward God. It moves to a moral application. So our wisdom in God, it requires moral application. That's trusting in God and in his word, allowing his word to speak to us personally, being willing to obey it. That moves to required practical application, and that is acting on God's direction daily. And that results in effective living, experiencing what God does with our obedience. And as you look at that margin note and you see these things kind of outlined from a preacher or a teacher standpoint, you see something like that and it's a golden nugget right there and you're like, that'll preach. That's all right there. And so instead of the four, I kind of summarize that into three. So let's take notes on that. Just straight out of this margin note from a tool that you guys have in your hands and in whatever study Bibles you might have, they would have some similar things here. So this margin note, first of all, trusting in God is a moral application of acknowledging God. I thought that was a really neat insight in that margin note, that trusting in God, that was a moral application of acknowledging God. You acknowledge God in a very moral way by our faith, by trusting in God. Trust God. Allow His word to speak to us and obey it because we trust that God knows best. We know that God knows what He's talking about. We trust in God's compass, His moral compass, because God's moral compass always points true. And so we place our trust in that. We do what He desires for us to do, and we avoid what He desires us to avoid. To trust in the Lord with all your heart, to serve God with wholehearted devotion, and then to serve God with a willing mind and to not lean on our own understanding. So let's take a note there that acting on God's direction is a practical application of God's knowledge, or of acknowledging God, sorry. Acting on God's direction is a practical application of acknowledging God. To be willing to live the prayer, not my will, but your will be done. To be willing to live the prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. To daily follow God's leading instead of leaning on our own understanding. That's acting on God's direction. And that is a practical application of acknowledging God in our ways. You see it in the way that we live when we live that way. Trusting God is a moral application of acknowledging God. Acting on God's direction is a practical application. And so then we get to the effective living of it all. Acknowledging God in these two ways results in a more effective life. And I'm grabbing all this just from that inspiration that came from a margin note in a life application study Bible. I've done real good this month. I've not used any of my normal tools. I've stayed very strict to only using the tools that are at your disposal, only using the tools I shared with you. So every message, the study that has come in the messages, these last three messages in the series, have been completely out of tools that are available to your hands, and most of those are free online. The study Bible is not, but it's not a huge financial commitment, but man, you get a lot from those. So acknowledge God in these two ways, and that results in a more effective life. Acknowledging Him in these ways, He will make your paths straight, as Solomon said. Or as David shared with Solomon, there will be consequences for trusting in God, for going down the good path, and there will be consequences for not trusting in God, not leaning on God's wisdom. There will be consequences if you choose to trust in your own ways and lean on your own understanding. There will be consequences for those things. David said, if you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. Acknowledging God through trusting Him and acting on that trust will result in a more effective life. Life will be more productive. Life will be full of more good things. Life will be more fruitful. Life will be more rewarding. And that's a powerful set of notes to meditate on this week. And so let's go to the use it part of our tips technique. Some of you guys who still have your little sheet, go on and pull your sheet out. In a few minutes, I'll have this up on the board. It's on your bulletin as well. I went ahead and squished as much of it as on the bulletin as you can. I think I had to leave a couple of little things out. And go on and form some quick little small groups. You guys have done this before. We're kind of getting into a little bit of a pattern here. So go and grab a small group around you. And so if I can slide maybe you guys this way and Terry and Joe that way, and you guys got a small group back there, and don't leave anyone out, okay? This is going to start becoming your responsibility to make sure everyone around you is kind of included, so don't make a group that's too big, but, you know, Don't make ones too small either. So go on and grab a small group. And then what I want you to do is I want you, we're going to go to this next slide. Here's what I want you guys to be discussing. And then we're going to share this a little bit with each of the service. We're all going to be kind of sharing the message together. This is in your bulletins. This is in your sheet. I want you to take a moment and look at these questions and talk about these things. Where does this touch me in my life? What hope does it give me? What knowledge do I gain? What can I grow? How can I grow from this truth? What is here to guide me in righteousness? What insight is here for me in my life? How does this bring life to my soul? How does this bring me closer to God? Take a moment and just discuss those different questions with you, among your group. One of those questions will probably bring up a really neat discussion. If so, don't push yourself to have to get to the rest of it. All right, lots of discussion going on. This is exciting. And so let me go on and interrupt you guys a little bit. We'll talk and get some big ideas coming up. One thing I want to share with you guys, and let me pass this along. Next week we'll be starting in talking about the family. This right here, what you're doing right now, the use it section, this is great. These are questions are great to use with your family. You know, if your family comes to church, or even if they don't, you could share with them what the verse was and what we talked about. And you can use these questions to talk and start family discussions in your car on the way home from church, or sitting at lunch, or anything there. So these questions can be ways that moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, you guys can be spiritual leaders in your family. And this tool can even not only help you, but it can help you in that role, so that you're not saying, "Well, I really want to help my family grow closer. I don't know how." Here's some questions. Here's some ways to kind of open that up. So what did you guys have back here? What was one of the topics that came up for you guys? This group here. How to use it. What was one of the topics that came up for you guys that under the use it section there? What you guys were just discussing. What was one of the things that came up from that? Okay, where does it touch me in my life? It gives me wisdom and knowledge. Yeah. Okay. Is this one huge, three little groups? This is a big group here? Is that a separate group over there? Okay. So what about you guys? What were one of the things that came up here? Bob's the spokesperson.
Well, it gives us hope that when we trust in God, and He makes our paths straight.
It gives us hope. Because if we trust in God, then we have the assurance that He's going to take care of us. He's going to lead us in a great direction. Great stuff. This group here? Yep. Oh, trying to figure out what to talk about? Okay. Well, I guess I'll try to be a little more clear second service then. So I lost two groups in that. What about back here? So leaning on God at work it's at work, you know, not compartmentalizing our lives, but allowing God to have access into leading us in our decisions, not just moral decisions, but practical work decisions. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Great advice there. Great ways to use it. So, yes, what'd you guys get? Gives us peace. Okay, why so? I know why so, but I want to hear your reason. Feels very, is the word Davidic? Is that right, Mike? Mike's a good wordsmith. in line with David's life and how he lived when he was in caves and hiding in different places. So you can kind of see the echoes of David's life popping through in that proverb. So yeah, it gives us peace to know that whatever situation we're in, we can trust in him. He's gonna take care of us. What do we have back here? Whole life, not devotion, dedication, what's the word I'm looking for? Leaning. Dependence, there we go. Whole life dependence. There we go. Yeah. And there'll be a little piece of application here in a few minutes that's going to make that even more poignant. So yeah, that will be a little driving home in a moment. So what about this group? Peace, same as that group over there. So that's a universal thing. That's really cool. That's, yeah, just trust. Just trust. Easier said than done, but yes, that is the truth found in this. And we need those scriptures from time to time to remind us, you know, and there might be someone in the room here that you guys are sharing a sermon with them and they're listening to you and they're saying, you know what, I really do need to just hand it over. And maybe it's in the small group discussion. Maybe it's from a different small group. So how big or small is this group? I think this is one group and this is another group. Is that right? So you guys are part of this group. So what'd you guys have?
Trust is a little big word.
A little, trust is a little big word.
Mm-hmm. Tithing, on the other hand, could be a real trust factor there.
I get you. So yes, you're saying there are different ways that trust in God shows up in our lives, and for different people, just in case you guys couldn't hear him, I'm trying to explain what he was. For different people, certain places of trusting God comes easy, and other places would be more difficult. But the foundation, the baseline, is still trust. Is that where? So yeah, and agreed, and I think that's very helpful for any of us looking at that and saying, you know what, I have great faith in this area and I trust God completely here, but over here, not as well, not as much, and that would be a challenge. And so looking at a verse like this shows us there's a baseline for that, and it's all the same trust. We hang on to certain things than certain things over other things. So what do you guys have here? That was quick. That was
the Lord. Basically, we get, Jim put it well. He said it's like a whole life GPS.
Oh wow. It's a whole life GPS. That is a neat term. The journey is a mystery. But yes, we have the beginning and the end.
Knowing where you're going, yeah. Knowing how you're going, there's an assurance.
That's awesome. Yeah. And that's very helpful in those dark highways in the mountains with no guardrails to know I'm in the right direction. I'm on the right path. Excellent. Great job. So did I miss you guys? Oh, we got another one. GPS, give, pray, serve. Cool. Very cool. What about you guys?
Raise, leaning towards hope.
Hope, okay?
Just quite simply that it's the hope.
We get hope.
And all the passages that everybody has a favorite of and stuff. The bottom line is that there's hope.
Yeah, hope's a powerful word. So that's agreed, completely agreed.
One thing she said that... Mm-hmm.
Oh, you have that verse on your refrigerator. Yeah, and that's very potent. Some of you guys, maybe that's going to speak to someone in the room today that think, you know what, I need to go do that too. So I'll have to let Dawn know I used her verse today. I didn't. Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Hope. That group. And we had one more little group here. Okay.
And you could fall back on.
So you were saying lean not on your own understanding, weren't you? Yes.
Yeah. And it's when I write greeting cards to my grandkids or whatever, I put that on.
Hmm. So for you, so this is really interesting. If you guys, I know we're way far away from everybody else. She writes it on greeting cards when she sends it to family. So if I'm reading too far into this, for her, not only is it something that speaks to her, but she has used this verse as a tool of outreach and evangelism and sharing the hope that she has in Christ with her family. So that's awesome. That's
it. Help guide them too.
Yeah. Absolutely, and it's a simple verse. It's not anything, it's nothing debatable in there. It's either you do it or you don't. So, yeah, awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. Man, I applaud you guys. You do this on a regular basis with yourself, and you can do this in small groups. And then a few moments, I don't want you to go to the next slide yet because we'll have some music playing. I want us to now go just you and God in this next section. In your bulletin, you've got it. We'll have it up on the screen in a minute. And just take a moment and go through the rest of the use it questions there. Just between you and God on an individual situation, and ask yourselves these questions. I'm going to give you about 2.5 minutes. We're going to listen to a song as we think about these next questions here. So just on your own, take some moment in the margins, and you can write in the margins of the bulletin or whatnot, or in your Bible, and we'll look at these questions as individuals.
Yesterday's a wrinkle on your forehead. Yesterday is a promise that you've broken. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. This is your life, and today is all you've got now. Today is all you'll ever have. Don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life.
Another way of doing Bible study is to do a character study, is to just look at a person. In the Life Application Bible, if you go to some of the character study sections, I can't remember where I had to click to get to Solomon. I think it was, it might have even been 1st or 2nd Samuel. I started in 2nd Chronicles and started clicking backwards to find, see if they had a character profile on Solomon. I thought for sure they would. And in the Life Application Study Bible, in that column, on that section on Solomon, I'm going to read to you what it said about him. It says, "Wisdom is only effective when it's put into action. Early in his life, Solomon had a sense to recognize his need for wisdom, But by the time Solomon asked for wisdom to rule his kingdom, he had already started a habit that would make his wisdom ineffective for his own life. He sealed a pact with Egypt by marrying Pharaoh's daughter. She was the first of hundreds of wives married for political reasons. In doing this, Solomon went against not only his father's last words, but also God's direct commandments. His action reminds us how easy it is to know what is right and yet not do it. It is clear that God's gift of wisdom to Solomon did not mean that he couldn't make mistakes. He had been given great possibilities as a king of God's chosen people, but with them came great responsibilities. Unfortunately, he tended to pursue the former and neglect the latter. While becoming famous as the builder of the temple and the palace, he became infamous as a leader who excessively taxed and overworked his people. Visitors from distant lands came to admire this wise king, while his own people were gradually alienated from him. Little is mentioned in the Bible about the last decade of Solomon's reign. Ecclesiastes probably records his last reflections on life. In that book, we find a man proving through bitter experience that finding meaning in life apart from God is a vain pursuit. Security and contentment are found only in a personal relationship with God. The contentment we find in the opportunities and successes of this life is temporary. The more we expect our successes to be permanent, the more quickly they are gone. Be sure to balance your pursuit of life's possibilities with reliable fulfillment in your responsibilities. So Solomon got this wisdom from his father. Solomon also got awarded wisdom from God himself. And we read this in the very beginning of the book of Proverbs. This bit of wisdom that we studied here this morning in chapter 3. But as we read this character profile, we see that Solomon didn't heed the advice of his father David. He didn't live by the advice that he himself wrote down and passed on as good moral wisdom to govern our lives with. He had wisdom given to him from God, but he still chose to live without it. He stopped trusting in God. He stopped leaning on God's understanding. He stopped acknowledging God in his ways, and his paths got crooked. And the kingdom of Israel was split into two parts because of his decisions as the king of Israel. His decisions and his actions didn't just affect himself, but it affected a whole country and hundreds of years following. So this is Solomon. This is the advice he gave, or at least just a couple of verses of it as we studied this morning. So who are you? As the song said, who are you going to be? This is your life. Are you who you want to be? If you aren't happy with where you are, is it because you've leaned on your own understanding? Have you gotten there because you've only trusted on your own leading or your own direction? Is it time to turn it over today? Is it time to trust the Lord with all of your heart and to lean not on your own understanding? Is it time to acknowledge God in all of your ways? Is it time for Him to make your path straight? Are you ready for that to happen? It starts with your decision to submit and follow Him today. So who are you going to be today?